Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Samach Vav. We left off on daf Samach Vav Amar Aleph. We got all the way to the Mishnah. We rushed through the entire daf yesterday. We were sort of pressed for time. So just one quick ha'ara. You can't read the Gemara about Rava Bara Gavra, about Rava creating a person, and not mention the tshuva, the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi has a very famous tshuva where he discusses in Siman Sadi Gimel of his tshuvas, whether a golem can count toward a minion, meaning if we're struggling here one morning to get a minion together, so if someone is versed in Sefer Yetzirah, so maybe if we have eight people, just create two more, make two more, and then you'll be able to have a minion, and then you won't have any problems. So the Chacham Tzvi discusses this issue, whether a golem is kasher to be mitzayif to the minion, and he explains, what are the two tzadim? On the one hand, ein davar shebekdusha pachas me'asari, you need a minion for a davar shebekdusha, and that's derived from v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. So maybe a person who's created from Sefer Yetzirah is not considered b'nei Yisrael, and therefore he shouldn't count toward the minyan. On the other hand, maybe since he's from the Ma'asi Yadayim Shel Tzadikim, and the Ma'asi Yadayim Shel Tzadikim are considered their Toldol Seyem, it's very much like Megadol Yasom B'soch Beso, is Ma'alol of Kasav Kilu Yilado, that when a person raises a child in his house, it's as if that's his own child. So too, when a person creates such a being, that it's considered as if it is the Tzadik's child. Now, even that side of the suffix doesn't really make, is very difficult to understand, because when you're Megadol Yasom B'soch Beso, let's say I take a young non-Jewish child off the street and I raise that child, so what, I don't have to put him through a Geirus as he becomes older because I was Megadol Yasom, he's Mesarif to a minion? Certainly not. He still has to go through a Geirus in order to be Mesarif to a minion. We don't take those things literally. The Ma'asi Yadayim Shel Tzadikim Zel Toldos Sehem is a nice idea, but it's certainly not going to be La Halacha that it's going to be considered his child. But anyway, the Chacham Tzvi is Mochiach that we're not mitzarif him to the minion from our Gemara, because what happens? Rava creates this guy, sends him over to Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira starts talking to him. The guy doesn't respond at all, right? So, and what does Rabbi Zeira do? He says, "Oh, I know what you are. You're a golem. You were created by Rava. Go back to the dirt. Go back to the dust." So he says, "So don't you see if the Rabbi Zeira was alive to just get rid of him like that, just throw him out like that, kill him, destroy him? So it must be that he has no toelas. If he had any toelas in life, then it would be usher for him to just destroy it. It would be baltashchis. Even if not ritzicha, it would be baltashchis." The Rav Shachter likes to say over the Chacham Tzvi is that if we have all these requirements of being mitzrayif to a minion, you have to be ben das, you have to be bar mitzvah, shtei saros, whatever, all these requirements. But the most fundamental requirement is that you have to be a human being. Right, we don't often say that, but that's the obvious requirement. You have to be human. So this isn't even a human being. It doesn't get off the ground. Chacham Tzvi says, lest you mock me and say that the whole thing is a joke and that there's no such thing as creating a golem and no such thing as a Sefer Yetzirah and creating a person with a Sefer Yetzirah. He says, it's Yadua that my grandfather did it, that my great-grandfather, whatever it is. So he says, since it's Yadua that Rav Elio Bal Shem, I think, was his great-grandfather. Since it's Yadua that he did it, so you can't make fun. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden also refers to the fact that his great-grandfather, Rabbi Yaakov Emden was the son of the Chacham Tzvi, refers to the fact that his great-grandfather created some sort of being like this, some sort of Frankenstein-like creature that he created. In fact, that's one of the rayas that they bring, that the Maral did not create a golem, because the Chacham Tzvi descended from the Maral as well. And if he wanted to bring a raya, why didn't he bring the Maral's golem? Right? We have no historical record prior to the 20th century of the Maral creating a golem. In the 20th century, there started to be storybooks in the early part of the 20th century about the Maral's golem. But before that, we have nothing about the Maral really creating a golem. So it's noticeably absent from the Chacham Tzvi's tshuva about the Maral creating golem. Okay, so that's the just has to be mentioned, that wild tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi. Okay, so we are picking up from the Mishnah Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph. So we're continuing to discuss those people who are Chayev Skila. So yesterday we discussed all those people who practice Ov and Yidoni and the people who practice all sorts of raising spirits and things of that nature, and that led us into a whole discussion of all sorts of good luck charms and things like that that are usher to do min haTorah. So says the Mishnah: Hamechalas haShabbos b'davar shechayevin al zonu karis al shigasu chatas. Someone who's mechal Shabbos in something that if he were to do it b'mezid without proper hasra and edim, he'd be chayev karis. If he does it b'shogeg, he's chayev korban chatas. So if he does it b'mezid with proper hasra and edim, he's chayev skila. That's what makes the lists of things for which one is chayev skila. Says Rashi, what does it mean for those matters for which you're chayev b'mezid kares and b'shogeg chatas? Kigon davar sheish b'maase u'melechas machsheves. For instance, something that involves action, something that is a malachas machsheves, which again is a very hard phrase to define. It's really defined by a whole slew of concepts, but let's just say purposeful, professional type, not necessarily professional type, purposeful labor that involves a certain state of mind, v'lo amisasek, and not something that's done mindlessly, right? If one does the same act, but he does it mindlessly, he turns on the light, but he totally wasn't thinking at all when he turned on the light, so then, even though it's the same act as someone who was thinking and was doing it on purpose, it's not going to be something for which he's chayiv kares or kabar chatas or anything like that. So that's what it's coming to exclude. Only things that are done with the proper level of kavana. Says the Gemara, "Mechal dika midi dechol Shabbos havi vein chayav and lola shugas uchatas vallas dona kares." The implication over here is that there are certain types of chol Shabbos that you're not going to be chayav a carbon chatas when you do them b'shogeg, and you're not going to be chayav a kares when you do them b'mezid. Mayhi, where do you ever have such type of chol Shabbos? So maybe you can say, well, isn't that what Rashi just said? Misasik. Rashi said, that's what it's coming to be mimayit. It's coming to be mimayit misasik. No, but the Gemara, that's why the Gemara is very careful to phrase this properly. The Gemara is not just saying, mechal di'ika chol Shabbos, that you're not chayiv. It's saying that you're not chayiv al shigigaso chatos vel zdon okares. Misasik is not zodon, nor is it shogeg. It's below that. It fits neither category. What the Gemara is making from the Mishnah is that there's a type of Malachas Shabbos that you could do b'shogeg with the proper level of intention that's called shogeg. Shogeg means either that you remember that it's Shabbos but forget that this is also to do, or you remember that this is also to do but forget that it's Shabbos. Misasik is you remember nothing, you have nothing going through your mind. So when you've reached that level of shogeg or the level of mezid where you know exactly what you're doing and you know that it's aser, and still you're not going to be chayiv either the chatas for the shogeg or the kares for the mezid. So where do you ever have such a type of melech Shabbos? So this is Gemara, Tchumin v'alibid Rabbi Akiva. Tchumin in Rabbi Akiva's point of view is not going to be chayiv karban nor kares. Havara v'alibid Rabbi Yossi, and Havara, like we've discussed many times already in this Masechta, the concept of Havara l'chalek yatzeis versus Havara l'lav yatzeis. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that Havara is l'lav yatzeis, that the reason Havara is singled out amongst all the other melachos of Shabbos, none of which are singled out in the Torah, only Havara is singled out in the Torah, that's l'lav yatzeis. That's to tell me that Havara is a los asei, but it's not quite the same as all the other melachos in the melachos of Shabbos. The other melachos of Shabbos you chayv misa for, Havara is just a regular lo sasei Shabbat Torah. And that's why it doesn't fit into the category of the other misos. That is Rabbi Yossi's point of view. Of course, the other point of view was that Havara was lechalik yatzis. That no, Havara is precisely like every other melacha in the Torah, every other melacha Shabbos. Havara is just cited as an example of something that even if you do just this one, you don't have to do all 39. Even if you do just this one, you're going to be chayiv. But according to Rabbi Yossi, at least, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Now, this concept of tchumin v'aliba de Rabbi Akiva, so there is a machlokas rishonim. So Rabbi Akiva holds that for tchumin, yes, it's definitely going to be asr mida oraisa, according to Rabbi Akiva, right? It is something that is asr min haTorah, but it doesn't carry with it the same weight as a melacha min haTorah. It's not a melacha Shabbos, it's an isr Shabbos, but it's not a creative act. right? Tchumin are just going beyond the whatever the alpayim ama. That's not a creative act. It's just moving your body from one, right? If hotza'a is considered a malacha garua, even hotza'a, carrying dalar amos, is considered a malacha b'lirushas rabim. We're going mirushas yachin to rushas rabim is considered a malacha garua. What makes it a malacha garua? That there's very little creativity. It's just bringing something from one place to another, changing the location of an item. So when you're not even changing the location of an item, you're just moving yourself 2,000 amos, that's even less than a malacha grua. It's not even a malacha to begin with, but it is an iser. There is a machlokas rishonim though, the chachamim who are cholik on Rabbi Akiva, and say that the iser of tchumin is only a takanas chachamim, and is not an iser d'oraisa. Do they hold that there's no iser tchumin whatsoever min haTorah? Or maybe they're only talking about the tchum shel alpayim amma, that a 2,000 amma tchum that the rabbanon holds is not min haTorah, is only min rabbanon, but the tchum of shalosh parsaos would be min haTorah. That is the discussion. Shalosh parsaos is yud beis mil. The tchum of yud beis mil, maybe even the chachamim would be moda that that is midoraisa. So the chidushi aran on our gemara says, you see from the that the shita of the chachamim has to be that even the tchum of yud beis of Yudbe's meal is not minatory, even that's only midrabanan. Why? How can you prove it from our Gemara? Because the Gemara is trying to find what's an example of what the Mishnah says of something that you're not chayiv kares for mezid and chatos for shogeg by melacha Shabbos. What do we say? Oh, it must be assuming like Rabbi Akiva, and we're talking about tchumin. But if even the Rabbanan hold that there's such a din of tchum midaraisa, for which is not considered a malacha, for which you're not chayiv kares and chatas or whatever, why don't we say that we're talking about tchum of yud beis mil, valibid Rabbanan also? Why would we lock ourselves into the shita of Rabbi Akiva? We can say we're even going alibid Rabbanan, if the Rabbanan in fact hold of a tchum of yud beis mil min haTorah. Elamai, says the Chiddush Aran, it must be that the Rabbanan don't hold that there's such a tchum min haTorah. They hold that all tchum is mid Rabbanan, even the tchum of yud beis mil. However, the Ramban rejects this raya. He says, no, the Gemara doesn't want to talk about yud beis mil. The Gemara would prefer to talk about alpayim amma, because it never says beferish anywhere about the, it's never so explicitly written anywhere that the chum are going to be mchayiv min haTorah by yud beis mil. As opposed to Rabbi Akiva, the fact that he holds that you're chayiv for going alpayim amma min haTorah, he writes it explicitly. So since it's stated more explicitly, enochinami, says the Ramban, we could have said it's going alibet the chachamim, and it's talking about the tchum of yud beis mil, but we'd rather take an isser that is more well known and more explicitly written than take the lesser known isser that's never said explicitly anywhere, even though it may in fact be true. Okay, so that's the possible raya from our Gemara. Next Mishnah, again continuing in the Chayavei Skila, Hamakalel Aviv Imo, if a person curses his father and mother, Eino Chayavayt Sheikalelim B'Shem, he's only going to be Chayav Skila if he's Makalel using the Shem Hashem. If he curses them with a kinoi, using some sort of, not actual Shem Hashem, but some sort of a substitute name for the Shem Hashem, so then Rameir says, you're still chayiv, the Chum say you're going to be pater. So one line at a time of this Mishnah. Mekal of the Imel, the Aruch Lenar is the following suffix. What if you don't specify who your father or mother is? You just say, I am cursing my father. Here, my father should be cursed, right? And you don't say who your father is. My father so-and-so should be cursed. Does that count? You have to, we know you have to identify HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the curse. Do you have to identify the father or the mother in the curse? That's a suffix the Aruch Lenar brings up. Minchas Chinuch is mistapik in the following case. What if you don't know who your father is? So you just say, my father, whoever, deadbeat daddy, walked out. He walked out on the mother when the child was a baby. So he says, my father, whoever he is, wherever he is, never met him, but whoever or wherever he is, he should be cursed. So are you chayv for cursing your father in that way? Or maybe you need the father to be nikar musuyam. You need to know exactly who it is that you're cursing in order for the curse to be chal. That's the suffix of the Minchas Chinuch. By a shtuki, where you have no idea who the father is, and nobody knows who the father is, so then the Minchas Chinuch thinks it's pashut that you're going to be pater, because maybe then the father is a guy, and a son cursing a father who's a guy is not going to be chayv. It would have to be cursing a father who's a Jew. So if it's a total shtuki, where there's no chance, where there's a very solid chance that the father is a non-Jew, so then it's going to be it's not going to be chayiv. One is not going to be chayiv for cursing stam, a father, without identifying him. But when you know that your father is a Jew, for instance, you follow a rov, right? Your mother became pregnant in a place that's Rubam Yisraelim. So you know, you follow a rov, that your father is a Jew. So that's where the Minchas Chinuch has this suffix. Milchas Chinuch at the end is medayik from the Rambam that a shtuki, Rambam writes, a shtuki is patra al kol asaviv, sounds like no matter what, if he doesn't know who his father is, he's patra. So to just in general terms, just say my father, whoever, wherever he is, should be cursed. Milchas Chinuch says it sounds from the Rambam that he should be patra. There's a famous kasha that the Gemara in Chulin, Dafir Alpha and Beis, tries to show that we follow the rov from the din of Makkah Aviv. That if you hit your father, you chayv misa, right? So the Gemara says, well, how do you know it's your father? How do you know your mother didn't cheat on your father, didn't cheat on her husband, and you were conceived by some other man? How do you know it's your father? So there's a concept of rov bi'ilos achar abal, that even if she's the woman cheats on her husband, still most of the time she has bias with her husband. So rov bi'ilos achar abal, and therefore we have the right to assume, based on rov, that this must be your father. So all the achronim ask, the Gemara brings a raya from Makkah Aviv. Why doesn't the Gemara bring a raya from Mekalel Aviv, from cursing your father? How do you know it's your father? It must be that it's a din of rov. So they're metarit that by Mekalel Aviv, that the metarit is based on this point that we're making now, that maybe by Mekalel Aviv you don't need to identify your father. By Makkah Aviv you need to identify him because you're physically hitting him. So you have to physically, it has to be on him. It can't be on somebody else. But by Mekalel Aviv you don't have to identify him. You could just be saying, whoever my father is, I'm being Mekalel him. So that's how they try to be metarit. So the Minchas Chinuch says, no, that's not a raya. That's not a good raya that you could just, that you're chai from Mekalel Aviv by just saying in general terms, whoever my father is. He says there's a more basic reason why the Gemara doesn't bring the raya of rov from Mekalel rather than from Makkah. He says, because by Mekalel, maybe it's because we're concerned that the father is a guy. So that's why we pick the case of Makkah, where it's directly on the man that that you think is your father. The Aruch Liner just points out that in Ochanami, you could have picked the case of Mekalel, but the Pasuk talks about Makkah first, so that's why the Gemara picks the case of Makkah. Can't be medayik from the fact that the Gemara tries to prove Rov from Makkah and not from Mekalel. Okay, that's on the issue of Mekalel Avimo. What's this idea of Kilam Bikinoi? What is a Kinoi? So Zakt Rashi, Kilam Bikinoi, Kigon, Shakai, Tzavakos, Chanun, Rachum. Right, that's an example of Kilam Bikinoi. Now, what you see from Rashi very clearly is, what you see from Rashi very clearly is that even by Shemel She'inim Nimchakim, you're Pater. Shakai, Tzvakos, you're not allowed to be Mochik those names, you're not allowed to erase those names. So even though they're holy enough that you're not allowed to erase them, still you're Pater, because they're not Shema Miuchad. The Rambam, however, says that whether it comes to Mevarichas Hashem, whether it comes to Mekalel Avimo B'Shem, if you're Mekalel with any of the Shemel She'inim Nimchakim, you're Chayiv. That anything that cannot be erased, you can be chayiv. And the machlokas in our Mishnah is if a mekal bikinoi is rachum, chanun, and only those types of names. The shemos hanimchakim. He says if it's a shem she'in nimchak, it's something that you're not allowed to erase, it wouldn't even be a machlokas in our Mishnah. The only time we have machlokas from Meir and the Chum in our Mishnah, when you mekal bikinoi, if it's a name that you are allowed to erase. That's the machlokas, Rashi and the Rambam. And the Chum say that when you're Mekal B'Kinoi, the Chum say you're going to be Pater. Now, does that mean that you're allowed to do it? It's totally Pater. You're allowed to be Mekal your father as long as you use a Shem Hashem that's normally erased, that you're allowed to erase. So then I'm allowed to be Mekal to my parents. So the Rambam says, no, Pater means you're Pater from Misa. You're still Chayv Malkus, just like you're Chayv Malkus and being Mekal any Ishmi Yisrael, any Jewish person that you curse, you Chayv Malkus for. So a parent is certainly no different. You're going to be Chayv Malkus for cursing a parent even if you don't use the Shem Hashem. The Lechem Mishnah just points out, how could it be that you're going to get Malkus? Isn't this a Lav Hanitan Las Haras Misas Beis Din? Meaning this is a Losa of cursing your parents is something that can lead to Misas Beis Din. So how could it be that you would ever get Malkus for something that's a Lav Hanitan Las Haras Misas Beis Din? So the Lechem Mishnah points out that there's a Gemara Maseches Tmura that says when you Makal your friend, you're Loka, even though you didn't do a Maisa. There's a special Limud the Gemara has that even though it's a Lav Shema Maisa, you still get Malkus. So it says that same Limud that tells you that even though it's a Lav Shema Maisa, you get Malkus, will tell you that even though it's a Lav Hanitan Las Haras Misas Malchus Beis Din, you're also going to get Malchus. And therefore, says the Minchas Chinuch, if you're Mekalel Av V'Imo with the Shema Miuchad, and you just didn't give him Asra for Misa, so he only got Hasra for Malchus. He did everything. He did it with the Shema Miuchad Mamish. But he didn't get Hasra for Misa. He only got Hasra for Malchus. He does get Malchus. We don't say he's off the hook because it's a Lav Anit and Lasar's Misa's based in. No, he will get Malchus based on that limud, that Dafka by Mekalel, it doesn't have to fit the normal criteria for which a person is going to get Malchus. Okay, so says the Gemara now, Man Chachamim. Who are these Chachamim in the Mishnah that say that you are Potter for being Mekalel, your parents, not using the Shem Hashem, using only a Kinoi? So Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi, the Chachamim are Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi, the Tanya, Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi says, Benakvo Shem you must. Matam Lomer Shem, what does the Pasuk say Shem for in the Pasuk? Limit al Mekalel Av V'Imo, Sheinu Chai V'Achei Kalim B'Shem. Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi says, oh, what you see from the word Shem is that when one is Mekalel Av V'Imo, he's only going to be Chayiv if he's Mekalel Av V'Imo using the actual Shem Hashem. Fine. Tan Rabbanan, we have a price as follows. Ish. Matam Lomer Ish Ish. Why does the Pasuk say Ish Ish? Right? The Pasuk says, Ki Ish Ish Asher Yikalos Aviv's Ima Mosi Mas Avimo Kilel Damav Bo. Why does it have the double lashon of Ish when it talks about cursing a father and a mother? Answers the Gemara, L'Rabos, the double lashon of Ish comes to include Bas, a girl who curses her parents, Tum Tum, the androgynous. If it just said an Ish who curses his parents, I would say, okay, a man is chayav for cursing his parents. He's not so emotional, and therefore he has no excuse. But maybe a woman, more emotional, whatever, and she just, okay, so she goes crazy sometimes and she curses her parents, so she's not going to be chayav. No, that's why the Torah says Ish, Ish, to include a bas, a tum tum, and an androgynous. Fractosus, wait a second. In general, we have a rule. Gemara Baba Kama says, and it's all over Shas. Hishva kasvishal ish lekolon shabbat Torah. We assume that every time there's any Yisra in the Torah, that all of Torah, unless told otherwise, applies equally to men and to women. Right? Even though the Torah specifically usually speaks in Lashon Zachar, it's speaking Lashon Zachar because it can't speak Lashon Zachar in a cave at the same time. So it speaks in Lashon Zachar, but whenever, whatever the rules the Torah says, when it says, Lo Yochal, you're not allowed to eat, X, Y, Z, Nevelus, Trefus, whatever, it doesn't mean women are allowed to, just because it says it in the masculine. Women are also Aser. Ish and Isha are equal in all of Torah. So Tosfos says Yisod, that he says several places in Shas, that that's only when Stam, it speaks B'Lashon Zachar. But whenever it specifically uses the word Ish, Ish comes to be M'ma'it Isha. Unless it has double Ish, because then it's a Miyut Achar Miyut. It says Ish, Ish. So Ein Miyut Achar Miyut, Ella L'Rabos. So the double Miyut comes to include Isha as well. Fractosus, but wait a second. We have a Gemara in Perek Arba v'Chamisha Mabukama by a Shor Shehemis Shor, where the Gemara says that Shor Isha is included, even though it doesn't say Shor Ish. Why do we need a special reboy to include Shor Isha? It never said Ish over there in by talking about a Shor Shenagach. So why would I need something special to include Isha? It should be obvious that Isha is included because it's just Stam Lashon Zachar. So Tosfos answers no, because the Darshin Hasam Negicha Lemisa Negicha. It does say Ish by Shar. It talks about Ish by Shar when it talks about Nezikin, and therefore we can apply that to a case of Misa as well. And that's why we need a special Riboy in the Pasuk to include Isha. Fine, says the Gemara Vaitar, Sheikalu, going Vaitar in the Pasuk, the Gemara is continuing to dash in the Pasuk about being Mekalel Av V'Imo, Asheikalu as Aviv Ve'es Imo, Ainli Ela Aviv V'Imo, Aviv Shlo Imo, Imo Shalom Aviv Minayin, I only know about Aviv V'Imo, how about Aviv that's not Imo, Imo that's not Aviv, how do I know to include it? Tamalomar, Aviv V'Imo Kilel, Damav Bo, right? How do I know if you only curse one of your parents? Right? Aviv Shlo Imo means you curse only your father, not your mother. Curse only your mother, not your father. How do I know that that's also going to be chayiv? That's why it says aviv imo kilel damav bo, which teaches us aviv kilel imo kilel divrei Rabbi Yoshia. that Rabbi Yoshia says, we learn from the way the Torah phrases it, that it puts the word klala at the beginning of the pasuk next to the word aviv, and at the end of the pasuk it puts the word klala next to the word imo. And that's trying to show us that if you're makalal only aviv, or if you're makalal only imo, you're still going to be chayiv. Rabbi Yonasan Omer, mashma shneim ke'echad u'mashma echad b'fnei atzmo. That it's the implication normally of a pasuk is always going to be both of them together, or either one on their own, unless the Torah tells me specifically you need to do both that together. So the normal assumption, I don't need a reboy to tell me that only the father, cursing only the father Yechayev, cursing only the mother Yechayev. That's the obvious part. That's supposed to be the default position. When the Torah says Yachtav, that's the chiddush of the Torah to tell me that you need to do both. Where does the Torah say Yachtav? Where do we have such an example where the Torah specifically says you have to do two things together in order to be Chayiv? So Rashi explains, Ashir Shiyufot Lecha Kasav Yachtav, he says it somewhere over here. I thought he said it somewhere over here where he talks about shatness or something, right? Tosos quotes it. Achiv v'lecha kazav yachtav, says Tosos pirush akuntros k'derek shapirik beklayim, like it says by klayim, that by klayim dafka when it's yachtav you're going to be chayiv, but if you do one without the other, obviously you're not chayiv. That's the whole nature of the isser of klayim, that it's only the combination of the two that creates the chiyuv. Once we're in the Tosos, take a look. He says v'tema im kein l'Rabbi Yoshia ma'ksiv bu yachtav. According to Rabbi Yoshia, that we generally assume when the Torah tells us about two items, we generally assume that you're only going to be chayiv if you do them together. What does the word yachtav teach me by klayim then? Right? We would always assume that it means that you're only going to be chayiv if you do it together, according to Rabbi Yoshia. That's exactly the machlokas tanaim over here. Ela al karchach says, tells us, yilav yachtav hava mina dolo yachrosh peshor v'chamor ke'echad, afal pisha ein kshurin. Had it not said yachtav, I would think you can't be choresh with a shor and chamor together, even if they're not actually tied up to each other. And that you're not allowed to wear wool and linen, even if they're not actually connected to each other. I would think you're just not allowed to wear them at the same time. That you need two stitchings in order to connect the wool and the linen to be really chayiv for shatness. So that's what it means. So he says that's what Rabbi Yoshia learns from yachtav. That yachtav teaches that when it comes to klayim, it's not enough that you have to do both of them, but you have to do both of them in a way that they're very, very much connected to each other. Fine. Most you must, Pasuk goes on to say, most you must, beskila. So most you must means that the person gets skila. The person who curses his parents gets skila. Atomer beskila, and elabachs mikol misamurus b'torah. Are we sure that it's skila? Maybe it's one of the other misos that it says in the Torah. So nemra kan damav bo, v'nemra lalan demayem bam. That it says over here, by cursing parents, damav bo, and it says, by oven yidoni, which we discussed yesterday, de mehem bam, and just like malah halon beskila, just like by oven yidoni, it's chayiv skila. Avkan beskila, so too by cursing parents, one is chayiv skila. Onesh shamanu asara minay. So good. So now we've derived the onesh. Where do we ever find an ashara though for being makala v'imo? Right, we've already learned the onesh. What about the ashara? Tamalomer. That's why the pasuk says, depending how you read it, Elohim or Elohim lo sekalel. Im haya aviv dayon hareu bechlal Elohim lo sekalel. If your father is a dayon, he's already included in Elohim lo sekalel, in not cursing a judge, right? If you read Elohim as a judge, so vim haya aviv nasi hareu bechlal v'nasi bam chalo sa'or. And if your father is a nasi, he's already included in the iser of nasi bam chalo sa'or, that you're not allowed to curse a nasi. What if, though, your father is not a judge or a nasi? He's just a nice guy. Ain't a lo dayan v'lo nasi manayin. He's a doctor, he's an accountant, he's something else. Right? So how do I know that you're chayiv for cursing a father who's a regular guy? So amrit hare atadon binyan av mishnehen. Now we learn it as a binyan av from the combination of nasi and a judge. Right? The combination of those two teaches us that even a regular father. How so? The Gemara explains. Lori Nasi Kri Dayan. A Nasi is different than a Dayan. Lori Dayan Kri Nasi. And a Dayan is different than a Nasi. Lori Dayan Kri Nasi. The specific quality of a Dayan is not shared by a Nasi. Share Dayan Atamitsuva Al Hara Aso. Because a Dayan, what's the specific unique quality of a Dayan? Is that one can become a Zaken Mamre by arguing on a Dayan. You do not become a Zaken Mamre by arguing on a Nasi. Kri Nasi. Shiata Mitsuva Al Hara Aso. Vlori Nasi Kri Dayan. And the Dayan does not have the unique quality that a Nasi has. Sha Nasi Atamitsuva Al Hara Aso. That by a nasi you are mitzuva al hamra aso. I'm a little lost here. That a nasi you are mitzuva al hamra aso. Kiri dayin sheiata mitzuva al hamra aso. I'm not sure what that's about because I thought that's not so. I don't know, Rashi doesn't help us out over here. I just read it through quickly. I don't know. Anyway, what does it say in our school? You're not mitzvah on the hamra of a dayan. That's a little bit strange. I don't know.
Prohibited from merely defying his halach decisions, not from flouting his execution orders.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're right. I was reading hara aso and hamra aso the same way. Right? Hara aso is his psak halacha. Right, hamra aso is not his psak halacha. What is hamra aso? What is hamra aso though? I'm not sure what it's a reference to.
I guess it's some kind of.
Oh, shlo limrod b'tzivuyav. Right, Rashi says. Right, hamra aso. If you look at Rashi, 7-8 lines before they get wide, al hamra aso shlo limrod b'tzivuyav, not to go against his commands. Lahamro says piv. Shnemar b'Yoshua kalashe yamras picha. Right, by Yoshua at the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, Yoshua is told, we absolutely trust you and we follow you and you're our leader and anyone who goes against anything that you say, not a psak halacha, but you're the leader of Klal Yisrael. So if you determine that we have to do something, so then we have to do it. And if we don't do it, then we're chayiv misa. Right? That's where we learn the din of Mar v'Malchus from. Yeah, I just wasn't reading clearly. Hamra aso is different than harasso. Harasso is a psak halacha. Hamra aso is when he issues an order about anything. Hatzav eshav shvem, but what do they have in common? Shehein ba'amcha, they're both Jewish people. Va'atum usral kelasan. What do the nasi and the dayan have in common? They're both Jews. And you're mitzuva on cursing them. So to your father is part of your nation, and therefore you're chayiv for cursing him. I fret the Gemara, come on. Nasi and Dayan are both unique in that each one has a unique position of authority. Father doesn't have a unique position of authority, he just happens to be your father. That's why we have a pasuk that says not to curse a cheresh. That it even includes the lowest of the nation, so that you're not allowed to curse. It's not only for the highfalutin peoples, even for the lowest people. But maybe that's because the Torah, it's dafka asr because he's so low, that you can knock a guy down when he's low. That's why nasi and dayin show that it's not a function of the lowliness of the person. But wait a second, nasi and dayin, maybe it's because dafka of their elevated status. Cheresh yochiach, the cheresh shows that it has nothing to do with an elevated status. So once you have nasi and dayin and cheresh, so then we could derive at tzad hashava that anyone who is ba'amcha, including a father, you're musar al kilulasa. If you look at Rashi, Shekin Meshunin, Rashi says, yeah, Shekin Meshunin, Mishar B'nai Adam, Elu La'amlulus Ve'elu L'gdula, the Cheresh is lower than everybody else, the Nasi and the Dayan are higher than anybody else, V'kaim L'mishkitos Chulim, Kol Ma'atzad Parchin and Kol Dehu, Gon Shekin Meshunin. He says, truth is, we could always ask, because that's the Gemara's next question, right? The Gemara says, Ma'atzad Hashavish B'nai Shekin Meshunin, but wait a second, you shouldn't be able to derive from those three either, because all of them are different. They're all unique. Some are super high, some are super low. Says Rashi, we can always say that. Every tzad hashava is mishuna, that both tzadim are different, right? Deino tzad chomer, di tzad chomer, parach lav pirchi, hida avnami is pei tzad chomer. And we're not saying that it's a tzad chomer, the father also is a tzad chomer. How does the father have a tzad chomer? Because hukash kvoda l'kvoda makom. The father's kavod is considered to be the kavod makom. So that's a little bit strange that the Gemara would even ask shekein mishunin. Says Gemara, elim kein, nichtov kra, o elo Him Elohim v'cheresh, O Nasi v'cheresh, Elohim lamali. Why does it have to tell me a judge? It should have either only said a judge and a cheresh, or only a Nasi and a cheresh. Why does it have to tell me two people who are higher than everybody else and one who's lower than everybody else? For this tzad hashava that we're making, we should have only needed one guy who's higher, one guy who's lower, to just show me that anyone who's different, right? Why does it have that extra limud? Why does it tell me two people who are higher than everybody else? So if that must be coming to include even a father, and that's how we know to include a father. So it's not from a tzad hashav, it's from an main Einoinian. We have a whole extra word telling me about an Elohim. We don't need the pasuk about the judge. Just tell me about a nasi who's higher than everybody else, and a cheresh who's lower than everybody else. I wouldn't need a pasuk about a judge. So hanich leman diyamar Elohim chal. That works great if you assume that Elohim means a judge. Elman diyamar kodesh ma'ikel neimar. But if you read the word as Elohim, it's referring to God. Then what are you going to say? Titanya Elohim chal de Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Kiva omer Elohim kodesh. Machlokas whether it's chal or kodesh. V'tanya v'loz ben Yaakov omer asar lemvarich l'shem inayin. Tamal omer Elohim lo sekalel. So you see that it's a reference to kodesh. So leman diyamar Elohim chal gomer kodesh michal. So if you say Elohim is chal, we learn kodesh from chal. Leman diyamar Elohim Kodesh, Kamrin Chol Mikodesh. And if you say Elohim is to be read as Kodesh, we learn Chol from Kodesh. So Bishlam Laman Yamar Elohim Chol Gomer Kodesh Michal. I understand very well if it's Elohim Chol, right, it's referring to a judge, where you learn Kodesh from Chol. Because it's Kal V'Chomer, that if you're even chayav for cursing a guy, a person, Kal V'Chomer for cursing a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Elman Yamar Elohim Kodesh Gomer Chol Mikodesh. Dilma Kodesh Yisra Cholo Yisra. How can you say that if you read it as Elohim Chol, that we're going to, Elohim Kodesh, that you're therefore going to know that you're also going to be chayav for cursing Elohim Chol, that you're going to be chayav for cursing a person? Maybe the Torah is dafka makbid on cursing a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not on cursing anything else. Im kein lichtof pralos sakel. The double expression of sikalel, the double lamed, teaches us that you chayiv from both. Habal nara murasa, someone who's bal nara murasa, ino chayiv ashte, nara besula murasa vim beisavia. In order to be chayiv, she has to be a nara, she has to be besula, she has to be be'erisin, not yet benisuin, and she has to be be'beisavia still. Bal shnaim, two people are bal the same girl. Harisho meskila vasheni bichenek. First guy gets skila, second guy gets chenek. Fract all the Rishonim, isn't it obvious the second guy is not going to get skila? One of the requirements to get skila is that she be a besula. We just said that in the first part. So that's what Rashi says. Hasheni b'chenek is talking about that the first guy slept with her shalo kedarka. Right? Rashi says, Adayin hi besula, after the first guy slept with her, Shabo'ala shalo kedarka. So even though when the first guy slept with her shalo kedarka, that's still called Baal Naram Rasa. That's not one of the requirements of Baal Naram Rasa, that has to be kedarka. So even though her besulim are still intact, the first guy is going to be chayv, and the second guy is not going to be chayv skila, even though he slept with the besula. She still fit the bill as a besula, but still, since she's been with a man, that's it already changes her din. Tana Rabbanan, Narav lo bageres. We learn from the word Nara that it can't be a Bogaris, an older girl. Besula v'lo bu'ula. We learn from Besula it can't be a bu'ula. Mu'urasa v'lo nesua. From the word mu'urasa that it can't be a girl who has nesuin already. Bevesa via prat l'shemasrav l'shluchei bal. She's still got to be in her father's house, as opposed to a case where the father already gave her over to the shluchim of the husband for nesuin. Amr v'dam rav zudiv ramer. V'chom amr nara m'rasa afilu katana b'mashma. The chacham think even a katana is included in the pasuk nara m'rasa. It's not only if she's past the age of 12, between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, even if she's still a katana. How could she have erisin if she's a katana? The father was mekabel kiddushin on her behalf. Father is empowered to do that by the Torah. We don't do that anymore, but the father was empowered to do that by the Torah. Why would you assume that our Mishnah is going like Rameir and we're coming to exclude not only a bogeres but also a katana and limit it only to a nara? Maybe our Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan, and we're only coming to exclude Bogeres, and Ketana is included in our Mishnah. Amrlei, hai enu chayev achtei nara besulim rasa, enu chayev ela al nara besulim urasa mibayilei. What it should have said is, you're only chayev on. What's ad shetehei? So that's the raya, that it's got to be excluding both. It's got to be excluding that stronger lashon, has to be excluding someone who's older than nara, as well as someone who's younger than nara. Besulomidi, there's no further discussion. That's the answer. Boimine Rabbi Yaakov Barad Meirav. Ba'al Ketana Murasa L'Rameir Mahu. According to Rameir, what if a guy is Ba'al Ketana Murasa? So you're not Chayiv Skila. So what is it? L'Gamri Mamitlei or Miskila Mamitlei? Is it that you're not Chayiv anything? Or you're not Chayiv Skila, but you're still going to be Chayiv Chenek or something? You're still going to be Chayiv some of the Misa? Amalei Mistavu Miskila Mamitlei. Mistam, it's only that you're Mimayim from Skila. V'aksiv U'mesu Gam Shneim Atchu Shneim Shavin. But wait a second. Doesn't the Pasuk imply that they both need to get the same Misa? Shasik Rav. So Rav had no response to that. That how could it be that the Boel is going to get a different Misa than the Nivellas? So he had no response. Omer Shmuel, my time is Shasik Rav. Why was Rav quiet? I could respond to that. V'neim le Mesa Isha Shachavima Levado. Pasuk says Mesa Isha Shachavima. That sounds like even alone, even when he's not getting the same Misa as the girl. So Kitanai, that's a Machlokas Tanaim. Umesu Gam Shneim Atchu Shneim Shavim Div Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia says Umesu Gam Shneim implies that they both have to get the same Misa in order to kill either one of them. Rabbi Yonatan Amar Mesa Isha Shachavima Levado. That no, the Mesa the Ish alone could get a different Misa. V'ida Chahi Umesu Gam Shneim My Darish Bay. Oh yes. So what does he do with the Pasuk Umesu Gam Shneim if he holds that they don't need the same Misa? Amrava Lemute Maisa Chidudim. That comes to be Mema'it if he didn't really sleep with her. He just rubbed up against her body in order to pleasure himself. But he didn't actually sleep with her, and therefore she didn't get any pleasure from the interaction with him. Now, Biyashal Kadakrish doesn't get any pleasure from the interaction with him either, Rashi points out. But nevertheless, that we have a special pasuk, Mishkevei Isha, to include Biyashal Kadarka as well. But Maisa Chidudim is excluded. V'idach Maisa Chidudim lav klumi. The other opinion will say Maisa Chidudim is not an act of Bia at all, so there's nothing to talk about. Why would you need a pasuk to exclude it? V'idach Haylev Ado my Darsh Bey. What is the one who darshins Yachtav Meisu Gam Shneim? What is he darshin from Levado? Kidetanya. That if 10 people sleep with her and she's still a basula, even after 10 people sleep with her, they all get skila. Rebbe Omer Harishon skila v'kulam v'chenek. Rebbe says no, only the first guy gets skila. After that, everyone gets chenek. Tan Rabbanan, Ubas ish koin ki sechel l'znos. A bas ish koin when she begins to have znos. Rebbe Omer tchila. Rebbe says beginning. B'cheinu Omer meisish shachavim elevado. So my comment, what in the world is Rebbe talking about? It doesn't explain at all. So answers the Gemara, Amar Avun Rav Yishua, Rebbe Krabi Shmal Svirle. Rebbe Halzak Rabbi Shmal, Domer Arusa Yatsa L'Shreifa V'lo Nesua. That only in Arusa gets Shreifa, Bas Kohen, Arusa gets Shreifa, but not in Nesua. V'hachi Kamer, in Tchilas Bia B'Znus B'Shreifa, if her first Bia was with Znus, then it's B'Shreifa. Idach, but if this is not her first Bia that was B'Znus, then it's going to be B'Chenek. My v'chein, what's the v'chein that he then quotes? He's the Rebbe quotes this pasuk v'chein or mesa isha shachavima ki hasan, that it compares it to our case. Ma hasan b'tchilas bia kamishtayikra, hachnam b'tchilas bia kamishtayikra. Just like over there, we're talking about the beginning of the bia, her first bia interaction. So it's over here, it must be her first bia for bas kohen. Amle Rabbi Barbaye, mar lo hachi amar, but mar didn't say this way. Umanu Rav Yosef didn't say this way. Rebbe Krameir. He says Rebbe really is saying like Rav Meir. Rebbe means something else entirely. He means like Rav Meir. Darmer nises la'achad min apsulin misas b'chenek. That if the Bas Kohen was married to one of the psulin, she's chayiv chenek. V'hachikamer, this is what it means. In tchilas achalasa biznus bisreifa. If the first time she's ever mechalal herself was with an act of znus, that's when she's going to get sreifa. V'idach b'chenek. But any other time she was mechalal herself previously, then she's going to get chenek. Umay v'chein, what's the v'chein where we're comparing it to someone who's previously a basula? Simana ba'alma, we're just saying it's like beginnings. You see that beginnings are different. But lav dafka the first bia, it means the first time that she's mechalal herself with the bia, that's when she's going to get sreifa. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the sugya of meses.